Live from Scottsdale, Arizona, it's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction through passion and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I am your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We've got a good guest. If you are watching the channel via YouTube, you can always ask us questions right there in the comment box. Make sure to put them in there. Always before any show, Zach@ZachBallinger.com. You can ask those questions along the way. Without further ado, Christian, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thank you very much for having me, Zach.
So, Christian, let's jump right in here. What do you do career-wise? What's your job title and all that good stuff?
So, I'm a mental performance coach for athletes. Really, I focus on teaching athletes and coaches specific attentional skills that allows them to reach their optimal level of performance, wherever that might be, more often and for longer periods of time.
Interesting title. And so a lot of people probably out there listening have never even heard of this particular career field. How in the world did you find this and how did you get interested in it?
Well, you know, I've been an athlete, tennis player my whole life, really. And when I had to stop my career due to an injury in my early 20s, and then I turned into coaching very early on, I realized that the issue that I was having as a player that was holding me back from really being my best self, that I sometimes was, but nowhere close to as often as I would like to be, was exactly the same for almost everybody else. So once I realized it was like more like a mental thing and not a physical thing that is holding most people back from getting to that top, I kind of started to look into that a little bit more. And then over time, I realized more and more that those are actually skills that you can develop. It's not just something that, like, either you're gifted with it or not, and then you're like, good luck, bad luck, and that's it. But once you understand the methodology, how to kind of develop those skills and what those skills are to really be as focused or to be able to be as cool as, you know, some of the best pro athletes in the world that you can see, it kind of hit me that, like, that is what I want to teach people. But in order to teach people, you need to have those skills. So I put in a lot of time and work to develop those skills myself. And once I saw that, then I turned my whole career into really honing in on being able to help athletes with those particular skills.
Now, do you, as far as career path, let's say someone's interested in this or maybe a similar field, you know, what all goes into it education wise? What's your background? Is there certifications required? All that stuff.
Yeah. So there is, you would want to watch a little bit out. Definitely you can become a certified mindfulness coach. You can, of course, go also into the university, you know, and get your degree there, but that's more psychology, psychotherapy, or, you know, for athletes, more performance aspects of psychology. However, that's not what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on actually certain skills to develop, not a certain understanding only, even though that's a part of it. And when you go through these certifications, there are some that, like, maybe they're not up to the standard that you really want to, but you can go through them a little quicker. So one great one is definitely the Unified Mindfulness Teacher Training Program. If you would want to become a, you know, mindfulness coach, if you want to become a mindfulness coach that focuses specifically on athletes, then I actually have a teacher training program, which is called the MindSize Teacher Training Program. You also have other ones that are fantastic at UCLA. You can go through their field. Then there's one that's called MBSR. That's also pretty good and very established around for a long time. So, and there's a few others, but also, you know, do a little bit of research and then you can do by now a lot of them online, which is helpful for a lot of people.
Awesome. And so, you know, if someone's, let's say they job shadowed you for a week, and, you know, I know it's hard because our days change as professionals every day, but can you walk us through a typical day? Let's say somebody was doing a preceptorship with you and they followed you around for the day. What is it like?
That's going to be, that's a great question. I've never had that before. So, I mean, I work on multiple fronts. So, part of my life, of my job, is also taking care of myself. So actually, I start with a really, you know, deliberate routine every morning. I get up at 6. I start meditating. I start breathing. So that takes about 45 minutes. Then I go into a workout for 30 minutes. Then I go into a stretch for 15 minutes. Then I go into a cold shower. And then my day starts with, then I have breakfast and start basically working at 9 o'clock. And then I have multiple businesses that I work with or that I'm part of. So Adidas is one, my company Mindsize is one, my private clients are one, and then I have a new company that I'm establishing called Maverick Community. So my day will be tacked really by 30 or 60 minute increments on the minute, because I always have like a client from, let's say, 9 to 10. And then I need to talk to my partner from 10 to 10:30. And this will keep going from 9 o'clock until, I would say, the earliest I will finish is 6 p.m., sometimes until 7 or 8. So, and that's just, you know, by the minute, without a lunch break, basically from 9 to 6 or 8, depending on the day.
Now, the athletes that you coach, is there a certain amount of sessions that they have? Do they have, is it just you go until you find it? Is there, you know, and do you work with mainly professional athletes? Or are you talking about high school or collegiate level? Can you kind of explain
everything? I have the whole breadth, really. I have some professional athletes. I have some high school athletes. I have two guys that are going to college now. And then I have a lot of just recreational athletes that are very interested in becoming their best, but it's not their job at all. But they're taking it as skills that they like to develop and also that benefit their other, you know, professions or their personal life. So I have around, you know, just personal clients, all that I work with. I work with steadily the 90% of my clients I work with for over 5 years, probably 50% of my client I have for 9 years. And so because there's not a lot of clients that fall off, but it sometimes happens, it's kind of rare that new clients come in only when there's like an opening.
Wow. Very interesting. And so what do you love about your job? What are you passionate about? What gets you going? Why do you stay in this particular career field?
I stay, and I entered this particular career field because I enjoy most being able to help other people unleash their full potential. And always with people that also feel, have the motivation to do that. Like, it's not like I'm trying to convince anybody, you know, you need this, you need that. It's always people that are very curious and interested in kind of developing certain skills, and it's and any age that can happen, but it's always like somebody who is looking for that. It's never, you know, somebody who is just coming in and like wants to try something out a little bit. That's kind of not the right fit then working with me. And the reason why I'm in that field is because I want to help as many people in the world as possible to reach that potential if they are, you know, in the headspace of wanting to reach their optimal potential, or if they haven't already.
But on the flip side, sometimes people struggle with this. Other people know this question right off the top of their head. But what's something difficult about your job, or difficult that people should know behind the scenes? You know, it sounds pretty cool to be able to coach and work with professional athletes around the country. So a lot of people would probably find this work very glamorizing. One of the things I notice is the hours you work and the dedication you put into it. But what's something you may not like about the job, or some of the challenges that you face?
Honestly, there's nothing I don't like. I enjoy this thoroughly, from the whole palette of everything that is involved with it. maybe the money aspect, that's not something I enjoy focusing on too much, but it's just an element of it. However, what is challenging for sure is that in order to be able to teach these skills, it's not sufficient to be able to understand them intellectually, to memorize them, but you need to actually develop them. And that there's no shortcut to that. So even though you can go through a teacher training and you theoretically understand everything that you need to do, if you didn't develop the actual skills yourself, so, you know, let's just say you are a running coach, you could, in theory, teach somebody to run a marathon, even though you cannot run the marathon yourself. But when it comes to mindfulness practice, that's a no-go. You cannot teach anybody how to be mindful in certain situations when things get very challenging if you cannot do it yourself. It's very, very easy to pick up on that if you're just talking about something that you have memorized or whether you actually have the ability to do it, because it's very visible how somebody's acting, reacting, whether they're judgmental or not. So that is for sure one of the bigger challenges, and not the only one, is you need to put in considerable time and effort in order to develop those skills. And that, you know, is a significant amount of practice you need to implement into your day.
Gotcha. And so, you know, talk to me about, you know, we take you back into a time machine, and when you were young, second, first, third, fourth, fifth grade, whatever it might be, was there a dream career that you dreamed of doing when you were a kid?
Yeah, I wanted to be a tennis player for sure. I mean, that's all I did. I played tennis, you know, nothing else mattered to me at all, not even the slightest. So I was playing tennis. And I had the dream of, you know, becoming the world number one. But at the same time, I never really believed I could make it. Like, it was not like a really conscious thought that I was telling myself I can't make it. But like, I just was hoping for it, but really didn't think like it's really going to happen.
And, you know, I think that kind of translates. Sometimes that's what, you know, in my book, I talk about, you know, let's search back to your childhood, because even if it was something like being a Superman, or that might be just you wanting to protect people. So maybe it's a cop, or maybe it's a teacher. You want to help people with their lives. So even looking back years, it's more of a straight line analogy. You went right from, hey, I wanted, as a kid, I wanted to be a professional athlete, and now you're working with them. So that definitely translates into something that you're doing and that you're fulfilled in right now. So the next question is I probably know the answer from what you said earlier, but is there a setback you've had in your career that you can think of, whether it be, you know, mentally, physically, or something that set you back and it's been a challenge to overcome? And how were you able to overcome that challenge?
You know, at the moment, when I was experiencing challenges, they very much felt like setbacks. And physically speaking, for my tennis career, they definitely were setbacks. You know, I broke my hand 3 times. They removed my first rib. I injured my foot. Like, I had to take off training for months and months and months, which in a professional sports career, if your body is not working for you, whether it's because of your own lack of understanding what you need to implement, or you just don't have the right support, or your body is not made for it, it's kind of secondary, the reason. But if you find yourself in the situation where you have to take time off due to your body for multiple you know, months over and over, it's always going to be a big challenge to make it to the top. So those were physical, you know, setbacks, so to speak. Retrospectively, now when I look back at everything, I would not want to change any one thing that happened to me, that I did right, that I did wrong. I don't even look at it really as me having done something right or wrong. Those were just experiences that got me to the point where I'm here. And at some point, I was able to learn from what I have done or what happened to me. I might not have been able to learn from you know, my lack of taking care of my body or from how I behaved in certain situations in the moment or the week after. But sometimes it took 5 years, 10 years. And I look back and I realized now also with the practice that I have been doing and continue to do, it's like, oh, that's what was happening to me. That was the challenge why I wasn't able to deal with that. But now I see different avenues that I can go on, that I don't do the same thing that I did then, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and I can take a different route because I have developed those skills now, not just because I understand it, but I have the ability to, let's say, deal with the aversion to stretch. You know, I need to be stretching because if I don't stretch, my back's gonna, I'm gonna throw out my back. I'm going to have a lot of problems with my hips. So, no, I can't say that stretching is the most enjoyable thing for me in the world, but I have the ability now that I didn't have 15 years ago to be okay with the aversion of stretching, and I will stretch anyway.
Gotcha. Great. And then, you know, just out of curiosity, do you still play tennis today?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, you know, and you, in that, and that's cool. That's what I always tell people, you know, sometimes we got to separate, you know, obviously for you, it's a little different, but sometimes we got to separate our hobbies from our passions. And, you know, for me growing up, I wanted to be an NBA basketball player, but that wasn't going to happen because I didn't have the innate talent. I was 6 foot and, you know, could jump maybe 2 inches. So that's not going to get it done in the NBA. But you know, I can definitely use that as a hobby, whether it be exercise or anything like that. And I enjoy basketball, still enjoy watching it today. So that's why I asked the question. Now, how long have you been doing this particular career?
You know, I mean, really focusing on it heavily, I would say for the past 6 years. And before that, another 4 years where I was heavily implementing it, but it wasn't my kind of sole focus. And the prior 20 years were what was a requirement for me to get to the point where I was right now. So really, like all of the experiences that I had, all of the success, all of the failures, all of the accomplishments, all of the struggles that I had to deal with as an athlete were kind of what got me to the point then when I was able to really start developing the skills, teach it to skills. But so, you know, from my perspective, I look at it as clean cut as like, oh, 6 years or 10 years. It's really like, really my whole life I've been doing it, but from different perspectives that just led to the point where I'm right now.
Gotcha. And so I want to go ahead and get to these questions. We had did have a few that came in, and so perhaps you could help us with this. So one of the first questions that comes in is, I currently play football in high school now and work with coaches during the off season to get better at my craft. Why would I consider using a successful mindful coach over what I'm doing now?
So what was who is he using right now?
It sounds like he's using like coaches that are in football to help him get better at being a safety in football.
Yes. Okay. So it's not either or. It's always complementary. So let's say you have a football coach. Of course, a football coach will also most of the time, at least, talk to you to some degree over the mental aspects, how you need to focus on this and how you need to be able to deal better with that. But it's more like instructions in terms of this is what you need to accomplish. This is what you need to be able to do. But they don't tell you, because they're also not trainers for that, how to get to the point to be able to focus better. They just tell you you need to be able to focus better, and they are right. What they're there to do is to teach you how to be able to receive the ball better. They just don't tell you need to catch the ball better. They tell you actually how to do it. You go through a systematic training process, and eventually, with a lot of repetition, you will be able to catch the ball better in this situation, in that situation. They will teach you strategy and a lot of other aspects that are important for that particular sport. When you work with mindfulness coach that focuses specifically on sports, then you will be able to develop skills that allow you to do the things that your football coach is asking you to do or trying to train with you better and quicker and more efficiently. So it's a supplement, a very beneficial supplement for you to train what you're already training more effectively. You're not as often going to get lost in thought when you have to do exercises that your coach is telling you to do and you have like aversion to it. It's like I have towards stretching and you don't, you will do it, but you will not try as hard, or maybe you will skip on a round or two. Then you will be able to change your behavior in these aspects. So there's many different dimensions, so to speak, where these attentional skills will benefit you as an athlete. You will be able to better deal with fatigue and pain, doubt in your mind, and so forth. Maybe performance anxiety before a game. You will be able to more fully enjoy the aspects of the sport and the game that you are liking, and they're going to be even more fun for you. You're going to be able to start to change your behavior in a positive way. You will be able to do more of the things in the training that you're already doing, but maybe not enough of. Or maybe you're doing things in training that you shouldn't be doing, and you will develop the ability to stop doing them. So that's where the mindfulness aspect comes in.
Gotcha. Thanks for sharing that and the difference between the two. The next question comes in and asks if you do you evaluate talent for someone? So in other words, I think what they're asking is how do you know, like if a college or a high school student comes to you and says, hey, I want to get better at basketball and I want to use a mindfulness coach. Do you kind of, you know, not everybody's born with those innate abilities to make it or play at Division I level. So do you kind of, how do you coach around that?
You know, from my perspective, if somebody doesn't deliberately ask me to evaluate, I won't evaluate. My evaluation is basically just an opinion of mine, okay? It might be educated opinion, but nonetheless, it's an opinion. It's not facts. And I have seen many times in my life where I have been proven wrong, where other coaches have been proven wrong, where athletes are proving themselves wrong. So whether you think you can make something, that doesn't mean you will be able to make it. Sorry. And whether you think you can't make something, that also doesn't mean you can't make it. It's just you might be believing the story in your mind. And of course, that will have a significant impact on the outcome. But if you just take it for a story and you actually say, hey, I'm going to try my absolute best at doing what I enjoy, what I want to do, and what my mid and long-term goals are, then you will become your absolute best. And it is absolutely astonishing what people are able to accomplish if they're really, really intrinsically motivated, even though they might have a considerable lack of physical talent, nowhere close to the speed or strength or touch or acceleration that maybe some other athletes have. They have it, but they don't have the necessary motivation that the other people do. And you can see it in many sports. Of course, if both comes together and you have those physical abilities and the mental abilities, well, that's when you see people like Federer, LeBron James, Mikaela Shiffrin, you know, and so forth in all the different sports. But I would never in my life make a judgment and tell somebody, because it's from my perception, I might think like, yeah, you're not talented enough. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you, you can't make it. You might very well be able to make it because you might be able to figure things out that nobody has figured out yet, including me. So I'm going to support you as much as you can. And if you won't be able to make it in the end, that's no problem. If you have tried so hard in your life to accomplish this goal and then you just couldn't accomplish it, but you did everything that you possibly could, that's going to translate into every other aspect in your life. And whatever else you're going to try, you will be very successful at it.
Oh, great answer. Thank you so much for sharing that. So if people want to follow what you do, or they're interested in maybe following you on social media or getting in touch with you beyond this podcast, where could they find you at?
So I'm on Instagram at straka.la. You can find me there, reach out. And then, of course, through my website, my company, mindsizesports.com. And then I'm working with two companies, Adidas and Ultrahuman. So if you go to Adidas Runners and you're interested in developing mindset skills, you know, particularly for running and for your life, or an Ultrahuman in an app form, which is going to be released in the next few weeks or months, then those are different avenues that you can go. But, you know, my Instagram, my website, you will always be able to reach me.
Guys, we'll make sure to put them links into the comment section too for you to check out too, in case you missed it and you want to get in touch with Christian and follow the work he's doing. A lot of you have Instagram accounts, so that'll be good for you guys to follow him and see the work he's doing as far as motivating athletes. I think we can all take some of these things that he said today, even if it's not a career that we want to apply to, but some of the principles that he talked about is giving it your best, working hard, being mindful about things, and you know, at the end, things will work out if you do your best. So, Christian, we appreciate it. We know you're really busy. Obviously, by you describing your schedule, it sounds pretty rough. So, we know you're a busy guy, and we really do appreciate you giving back some of your time and educating on this, on your unique, fascinating career.
Thank you so much, Zach. It was a real pleasure with you.
Have a great day.
Awesome. Bye.